Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
All right. Amen. Amen. Before I get rolling real quick, we have a group visiting us today. Where's my group from Robinson, Illinois at? Where are you guys? Over here. Hey, can we give them a big Eastview welcome? All right. Came to visit us today. All right. So let's start out with this. This question. Have you ever felt really out of place somewhere? Like you walked into a room, you walked in to some building, you walked in to some party, and you're like, I don't belong here. Like, this is weird. I feel really out of place. I stick out like a sore thumb. You know, anything like that. I had this experience. So getting to know Ritasha's family, and they're all from like small town Iowa, okay? And I am Bloomington Normal city boy, as much as you can be from Bloomington Normal, okay? And when Ritasha and I were first dating, we got invited to one of her cousin's wedding in small town Iowa. Okay, now how many of you guys are like, you get the small town vibe? You're around there, you get the, okay, a few. With some of us, we're in this together. Bloomington Normal city people, where are we at? Okay, we call ourselves city people, but like if we go up to Chicago, they're like, you have no idea what a city people is. All right, you're from small town Illinois. Okay, so we go to this Iowa wedding, and let me just tell you, I asked multiple times to Ritasha, where am I? Where am I? First of all, the groomsmen all come out in boots like up to their knees and giant belt buckles and hats, all right? And they're walking out. And I'm like, my guys were in suits and this is just a whole different world, okay? And so they've got these boots on, they got these belt buckles, they got these cowboy hats. All right, we get to the reception and their hashtag, you know, it's not like the cute little hashtag, it's hashtag cows and vows, okay? And I turn around, I'm like, where am I? Cows and vows and boots and belt buckles, and they start giving their speeches, and they're giving the speeches of like, ah, remember those days out in the cornfields when we were hanging out on the old man trap bridge, right? And I'm like, I remember telling the story of, remember when I was hanging out at Ancho and Agave and having tacos, all right, but not the old man trap bridge, maybe crossing the bridge on Veterans Parkway, I can understand, okay, but this is a whole different world. And then the dancing starts, and it's, you know, it's the, you know, the line dance and stuff happens. I'm like, I'm done, and of course, Ritasha pulls me out there. I felt so out of place. So has anyone been to a wedding like that before? Or that's your vibe? Okay, that wasn't my vibe. But I'm learning these things, okay? But I felt really out of place there. That feeling of like you're in this place and you're not from around here, or you feel a little out of place, or you feel like a stranger, is actually a concept that Peter uses to describe our identity, okay? So where we're going to be today is 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to be starting in verse 11. And like Dale shared, this is our last week in our identity series. And I hope this series has been really good for you guys. Because you are students that have this identity that is different from the rest of the world. And I hope this series has been an identity shift for some of you. It's kind of been maybe this recalibration to say, you know what, I need to be placing myself more in who God says I am than what the world says I am. And so hopefully this has been good for you. I just kind of want to recap this a little bit. If you haven't been with us the whole time, or if you have, we started with the first week talking about how that we are people that are called by God, that there is a God that knows every single thing about you. He knows every thought that you have. He knows every feeling that you have. He knows every good moment that you've had in your life. He knows every bad moment that you've had in your life. And all of those things, everything that God knows about you, he still looks at you and says, I choose you and I call you to myself. All right, and that's what we talked about the first week. The second week, we talked about how we are people with the utmost value to God. And that we look at the world and we see the world's value, that the world's value fades. It goes away, Right? The world's value is conditional. It's based on what we do, and the world's value is extremely shallow. It's based on things like appearance and success, things that aren't deep. But then we talk about how there is a God that looks at you and has this precious value that's unmatched to anything the world can give to you. God looks at you and his value on you does not fade, is not based on what you do, and is the deepest kind of value that sometimes we can't possibly understand. So we learn that we're called, we learn that we're valued, and then Cooper came and he preached about how we are born again. That we are new creations, that we aren't prisoners to our sin anymore, but that we're freed, we're forgiven, we're wiped clean. And we think about the world, and the world loves to highlight our flaws, right, and point those things out. But God looks at us and sees us as perfect and clean because Jesus washed us with his blood. And then if you were here with us last week, we did that like unique Sunday where we had tables and we did small groups, and Dusty and Kim came up and talked about how we're heirs. We're heirs to the kingdom of God, and we have this inheritance that cannot be taken away, something that actually lasts forever. And guys, as we're talking about this identity series, as we're wrapping this up today, when your identity shifts, okay, from a world that screams really loudly, the world is very loud in saying who you should be. If you walk away from that, if you shift from what the world is yelling loudly and you stand in this quiet boldness of saying, you know what, the world's going to be really loud, but I quietly know who I am in God. If you do that, you will be a different person than the rest of the world. Okay, you are going to have hope when everyone around you is feeling hopeless, like this world is in chaos, this world is going down in flames. You can stand there and say, I'm actually really hopeful for what this world could be, for what God can do in this world. You will be someone that will have peace when everything is going crazy, when there's chaos, when there's wars, when there's things going on at school. You can have peace because you know that God is the creator of peace. And then finally, you can have joy amongst those that are sad, sorrowful, downhearted, that you can have this joy that doesn't make sense, right? If you have this identity in God, guys, your identity, who you are, is going to be very different from everyone else in the world. And that's what Peter is talking about as we get to this final piece of our identity. You are different than the rest of the world. And in fact, people may look at you and think, you're not from around here. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Peter says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Let me pray for us this morning. God, would you come in this place right now? Would you come and would you move? And I pray today as we wrap up this identity series that the students that walked in today, they would leave a different person. They would know who they are in you, that they're not called to be like everyone else. They're called to be children of God and to live holy and blameless lives. And so, God, would you encourage them that following you, following Jesus, is the best way to live this life. So, God, would you speak? Would you change hearts and change lives this morning? And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at what Peter's talking about here. The first thing he starts out with is he uses these two words in the very beginning, as you would if you're writing a letter, right? He tells whoever he's writing to, he says, "Dear friends." Okay, I just want us to take note of that first, real quick, because Peter really cares about who he is talking to right here. This is like this really intimate moment. I feel like it's almost like Peter is talking very softly here. He's like, "Friends, dear friends, let me just tell you something here." Okay? And so I want you guys to hear this as Christ followers, as someone that Peter might be talking to as dear friends, or if anything, that I'm talking to you right now as dear friends, I want you to listen in to what Peter has to say here. And what he has to say is actually a little warning. He gives a little warning. He says, as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your souls. Okay, so let's talk about what he's getting at here. What does he mean first by temporary residents and foreigners? What does he mean here? Well, we as Christians, as Christ followers, as those that follow Jesus, we have to start by having this mindset that we are these things that Peter is talking about. And the first thing is temporary residents. Peter calls us temporary residents. And what we need to understand is this world is temporary. This world that we're here on earth does not go on forever. Now, we know that there's this eternal reward waiting for us in heaven, coming at the end of when our life here on earth ends, but we know this life here on earth is temporary. And those who live in the temporary and put all of their hope in these things that won't last, all right? They're putting their hope in these things that don't last until forever. Okay, so those who believe this world is all there is, there's permanence in their actions. There's things that they think, if it's in this world and this world is not temporary, this is all there is, you have to think about this. When life goes wrong, when life gets hard, when we go through struggles, if this is all there is, if we don't think that this life is temporary, then it's devastating. When we go through hard things, if you think about when someone in your life dies, or we don't get into the college that we want to get into, or we have a breakup, or we have some form of abuse in our family, or we have something with our appearance that we don't like, or we have something where we struggle with mental health and anxiety and depression. If we're in this world and I struggle with these things and I believe this is all there is, then that struggle is multiplied. Are you following me here? Because if this is all there is, then my life is just defined by these struggles, and this is all I got. But if you are here today and you understand that this life is just a blip compared to eternity with God, if you guys were here listening to Cooper, he brought up that rope illustration, right? And he showed the little piece of your life that is here on earth, and he showed the rest of eternity. If you understand that life here on earth is just temporary, is just a moment, but then it's eternity with God, when life goes wrong, there's hope. It isn't devastating. It's still hard, right? You may have a death in the family, but death becomes a doorway that we say, no, I have hope now that this family member that knows Jesus now goes into eternity, right? If we don't get into the right school, yes, it's hard, but it's not devastating. It's not the end of the world because we still have this security in heaven that does not change. If we go through a breakup, if we have mental health struggles, if we go through struggles with our appearance, if we have things in our life that are abusive, right? We can look at these things and yes, they're hard and yes, we have to walk through those things. And I'm not diminishing how hard those things are, but we also have this hope to say, well, I've got this life waiting that's going to perfect all of this, that's not going to have all of these things. And so what we need to understand is this world is temporary. It changes the way that we have hope and we live. I want to read this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 42. It says, "It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life forever." All right, a lot of people in the world believe the earthly body is planted and that's it. That's all there is. But we have this hope that, yeah, my earthly body is eventually going to pass away. Death is eventually going to come, but I have this life waiting for me forever. It's an identity shift. It's why hope is so powerful and why Christ followers stick out like a sore thumb when we look joyful in the midst of a lot of pain. All right, I just have to think that a non-believer at a Christian funeral is very confused. Why are these people who just lost someone close to them celebrating their life, being thankful that they're in heaven with God? Right? We have this kind of hope that doesn't make sense. And so part of our identity, what we need to understand is that this life is temporary. It doesn't diminish the fact that this life is hard, but we need to keep this perspective in mind that we have this hope that is so great, that is going to be there for us, not going to be taken away, that's going to be this life that doesn't have all of these struggles here on earth. So that's the first thing. Second thing that Peter talks about is he says this life, all right, we're temporary residents, but we're also foreigners. He says we're foreigners in this world, which really what he's getting at is here, we shouldn't live then like the rest of the world. All right? We shouldn't live like the rest of the world. Those of you that have been to another country before, to another culture before, you get what this looks like. You walk into these countries, you walk into these cultures, and you're like, I live very differently than these people. And that's the kind of feeling that Peter is kind of getting at here. You should look at our native culture in our world today. Look at your school. Look at this. Online, on social media. Look at the native culture. All right. It's all about sex, drugs, and alcohol. All right. It's about getting this instant pleasure. All right. Whatever is going to make you happy in the moment. This native culture talks about self-gratification, talks about being independent, talks about being, hey, care about you first, then everyone else. Make sure you're happy. Doesn't matter what other people think. Make sure you're good, right? Or the native culture speaks about being the best, being the most popular, being the best looking, being true to yourself. This is what the native culture shouts and speaks, and we hear on social media, at school, maybe at home, amongst our friend groups. This is what we hear. But then you think about this, and this is how God calls us to live. God calls us to be pure in everything. He says, strive for purity. God says, no, your language, your native culture should be to live a life of surrender. And to live a life surrendering the feelings that you might have about something for what God wants you to have, right? We are supposed to be followers of Christ who are dependent on God, not independent, dependent on God. And me last, not me first, me last, and serving others and loving others. And not only that, but God calls us to live not to be true to myself, but to be true to God, because if I'm true to myself, well, myself is sinful. And so if you think about this, how we're called to live for God is completely opposite to what the culture is shouting. It is completely opposite. And so we are strangers in this culture that we live in. We are strangers, which is why Peter says that there are going to be these worldly desires that are going to wage war on your soul. It's going to be a battle every day to walk into your school. It's going to be a battle every day to log online onto social media. It might be a battle every day to walk into your house. It might be a battle every day to walk into this world, because you are called to live very, very differently than what the world says. Because our way of living is counter to the culture that we live in. 1 Peter 4:12, in Peter's other letter, he says, "Dear friends," here's the words again, he's talking to people he cares much about, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world." Peter's saying, hey guys, don't be surprised that following Jesus is tough in this world. Because following Jesus is opposite to what the world wants for you, to what Satan is going to lie to you about. And so don't be surprised that it might be tough to follow Jesus in your school. Don't be surprised that it's hard to log online and not be influenced by the things that you're hearing and you're seeing. But Peter goes and says, you have this joy that's coming for you when his glory is going to be revealed and we're going to be in heaven forever. And so let's talk about this. What does this mean? That we're temporary residents, that we're foreigners, that we're supposed to live different than the rest of the world. Okay, if this world is so bad, then should we just run away from it? Should we just lock ourselves in our room and say, well, I should shut myself away from everybody, because if this world is so evil, then I shouldn't be a part of it, and I should just wait until heaven comes or Jesus comes back? Well, no, because that's not what Peter's talking about here. He's not saying just detach from everything, just shut yourself in your room and don't be a part of the world, okay? Because Peter still used a word with temporary. Verse 11, he says, temporary residents. Yes, this world is temporary. Yes, we understand that, but we're still residents of this world. We still live in it. The word used in the ESV for this passage is the word sojourner. I don't know if you guys have heard that before, but sojourner was a word for people back in the Old Testament that would come and live a part of the Israelite people that weren't a part of their culture, that weren't Israelite people, but they were just there passing through, and they would stay with them for a little while. In fact, the people of Israel would often be called sojourners as they passed through the wilderness and into different cultures and contexts. They would be sojourners. They'd come and they would stay a while, but they wouldn't stay there forever. And so what we need to understand is while we see this world as temporary, we also need to see this world as one that we need to be invested in, to be residents of, to not detach from. And one of the greatest things we can do is look at the example of Jesus. Guys, Jesus was the greatest sojourner. Jesus was here for just a time. He was here temporarily. He was here temporarily. He walked the earth for 33 years, and then he went up to be with God again. All right? But Jesus did not detach. Jesus came into the world, and he invested in our world without ever becoming influenced by it. Okay, so we need to look at Jesus and say, okay, this is how he lived. He came and he was a part of the world, but he was never influenced by the world. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. Okay, and that's who we're called to be. High school students in your high schools, in your friend groups, at home, you are called to be in those worlds, but not of them. You're called to be invested in those places, but not influenced by them. Okay, this is what we're talking. What we have to understand is that we are not rooted, we are not influenced by the culture, but we're also not detached from it. Okay, which Peter gets at in the second part of this verse. Peter doesn't say to run away. He says in verse 12, he says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. And then he says that they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and give glory to God. It reminds me of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus says, hey guys, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father. All right, so Peter is still talking about that even though we're just passing through, all right, we as Christ followers are on our way to heaven. We're on this journey towards life with God forever. That doesn't mean we don't have work to do. On the way, we have a job to do because your actions and how you live in these places that are just temporary, but how you live there will either point people towards Jesus and glorifying him or they'll point them away. Okay, so what you do every day at school matters. What you do every day in your home, it matters. How you live among your friends that don't know Jesus, it matters. It matters how you live. Because the Bible says, Peter is saying here, that people are going to take notice of you. If you live honorably, if you don't live like the rest of the world, they're going to take notice because you are living different than a sinful culture. Guys, if you choose not to go to parties, not to get drunk, people will take notice. If you choose that you're not going to swear when all of the people around you are swearing, or you're not going to take part in gossip when everyone around you is gossiping, or you choose that I'm not going to have sex before I get married, people are going to notice because that is very different than the rest of the culture. That is very different than the world that we live in. And you know what? Peter says people are probably going to accuse you. You know what? That makes a little sense. People might start throwing some accusations. Wow, you're really lame for not doing those things. Or, oh, you think you're better than us? Think you're better than us by not doing those things? Or, oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes over here. I've heard those things when I choose not to live like the rest of the world. Accusations may come. But Peter says eventually people will take notice and give honor to God because of your honorable lives. You see, eventually, Peter says, people will take notice and see that our God is a God worth following because we have this kind of joy and kind of hope that they don't have. All right? So here's my encouragement for you guys today and what we need to understand about our identity. You are different, and that's okay. Live differently. Quit trying to blend in. Quit trying to be like the rest of the world. You're supposed to be different because the way God calls you to live is different than how the world calls you to live. And sometimes I think we get that confused and we get nervous about what other people are going to think. And the world is really loud that we're just going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to do what all of my friends do because I just want to fit in. Peter is saying here, you're going to be weird. You're going to be different than everyone else. You're going to feel like a foreigner. You're going to feel like you don't belong. And so I'm just preparing you for that. And I feel like that's what I want to do for you guys today. To say, you know what? You're going to feel different. You're going to feel a little foreign to everyone else. And that's okay. That's what it's going to be like when you choose to follow Jesus in the world that is very, very sinful. Those who are in Christ don't live a life that makes sense to the rest of the world. They don't. But that life is one that brings the most hope, the most love, the most joy, the most peace. It is the best life to follow Jesus. Your identity is not also in the temporary failures and struggles of this world. It is in this eternal reward that cannot be taken away. And so guys, as we wrap up this identity series, I want us to rest finally in this fact that, you know what, I'm different, and that's okay. Because I'm going to live honorably so that other people eventually will look at my life and say, what's up with that? And maybe they're going to bring honor to God because of the way you choose to live in this world. One of my favorite verses of all time is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's a big part of how I choose to place my identity, and I hope today maybe it's something you can place your identity into. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which he prepared in advance for us to do." All right, and we wanted to do something today that you could walk away with tangibly to know who you are in Jesus, that you are his workmanship. But you aren't just this valued, awesome thing that God places on you. You're also someone that's been called to a good work that God has known for years and years and years, what you were going to do in your high schools, what you were going to do in your homes, what you were going to do in your colleges, what you were going to do in your life. God knew way beforehand. And so today, we have these bracelets that say Ephesians 2:10 on them. And actually, on the inside of them, it's kind of hard to see, but inscribed in there, it says valued. It says valued. And this is just something we wanted to give to you today to maybe put on your wrist and to wear for the rest of the year or however long you want to wear it, just as a reminder of this series and what we talked about and who your identity is in, that you don't identify with the world. You identify with being a child of God that is deeply loved and valued. And isn't based on what you do. It's just there. God loves you the most, and it doesn't change. And so maybe you are in school, and you're having a tough day, and you feel like your value has been diminished, or some part of your identity is being hit. You can just look at this and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm God's workmanship. And you know what? I'm valued beyond compare. And so we're going to go ahead, and we're going to sing. And as this song goes, we're going to invite you guys. We have bracelets up here at the table if you're on the floor. We also have bracelets upstairs if you're in the balcony. Feel free during this next song to go and grab one of these and be reminded that your identity is not in the world. Your identity is in Jesus. Let me pray. God, I pray that we have an identity shift today. That we would know who we are in you and that it never changes. And God, when things go wrong in this world, where we go through hard things, may we know that this is just a temporary moment compared to the rest of eternity with you, God. I ask for the courage for these students to live boldly and to live differently so that others around them would take notice and say, you know what? I want to follow that, God. So God, would you be with these students? And we know this is all possible because of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.